Here we go, Season 8, Episode 9 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hi, Hooters is your spot to catch all the games this season. Try our world-famous wings, delicious seafood, stacked sandwiches, salads, and more. Hooters, another year as the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We return to Hooters en masse. For the first time since 2019 with the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Drafts, they will be coming up in a matter of weeks. There is no entry fee to play in a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. You simply need to have a fantasy background, which I'll talk to you about when you inquire, and you need to be physically able to join us to draft live. All the details will be provided if you reach out to me and show interest in playing in our leagues. Again, there is no entry fee. Yes, you're going to have to pay your bar and food tab that night at Hooters, but there is no purchase necessary. No fees associated with the league. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com if you're interested in playing in this year's Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Leagues against the likes of Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford, last year's champion, the captain, Captain Morgan, who's also a Todd Wright Tour golf tournament captain, Ira Kaufman, who got Rondé Barber into this year's Hall of Fame from JoeBucksFan.com, will be participating. Drew Garabo, host of Drew Garabo Live on 102.5 FM, The Bone in Tampa Bay, will be participating. And there are plenty other names. Of course, I'm playing in one of the podcast leagues as well. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Speaking of my email for the podcast, I got an email from Connor, who's been listening to this podcast for some time. Thank you so much, Connor. And Connor asked me a question I couldn't answer. No, it is a question I cannot answer. So my answer to Connor was the best I could offer. If you've been following along with me for a while now, and if you've been following along with this podcast as we go a new unique episode every weekday in the month of August. And Connor even said, thanks for your free podcast. You're welcome, Connor. Thank Hooters. Hooters pays for this podcast to be free. See, this is where I have become angry over the years about more and more fantasy content that you have to pay for. Because those that charge you for fantasy content, they're lazy. All they got to do is go out and get sponsors to pay for it. Then you don't have to. The sponsor benefits and you benefit. That's the way it should work. And that's why I do free podcasts. Much like there is never a fee to play in one of my fantasy leagues, and there never will be, I will never do a podcast you have to pay for. I won't. So thanks to Hooters for doing that. Yeah, so Connor asked a PPR question. I can't answer that. The way he phrased it, I can't answer it. So I simply said to him, in the future, just ask me fantasy questions, take my answer, and then adjust it for your purposes. It's not Connor's fault. He's in a 20th century fantasy league where the commissioner who sets the scoring settings is completely out of date. And for more on why that is the case, go back to a previous podcast from Season 8. So my response to Connor was that him asking me a PPR question is basically saying, it's like somebody asking me for help with a babysitter in Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't have kids and I don't live in Nebraska. That's the equivalent of asking me a PPR-based fantasy question because I don't live in that world. I don't have that lifestyle. So here we go, based on, of course, my 21st century standardized yardage-based scoring settings from 2022. Let's review the top producers overall, numbers 18 through 25. If you're saying, well, wait a minute, where's 1 through 17? Where you been? All you got to do is go back and listen to episodes 6, 7, and 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for breakdowns on those players. We're not going to wait for you, but you can pause now or you can go back after this. I'm going to start this podcast with number 18, and it's our first wide receiver, and it's Justin Jefferson, who I have enjoyed. You know, if this is the end for my fantasy man crush, Derrick Henry, if this season is it, and he and I have had a wonderful relationship, you know what they say about relationships? The best way to get over someone is to get under someone. Yeah, that's what they say. So let me spin it for fantasy purposes. If this is it for me and King Henry, then the best way to get over him is to get over double-digit points with Justin Jefferson every week going forward if Derrick Henry and I are coming to an end. Justin Jefferson last year, 240.43 points, 8 receiving touchdowns. The 128 receptions for 1,809 yards. Just phenomenal numbers for a terrific talent in an offense that's very modern, with a capable quarterback, a head coach with an offensive background, playoff team. Yeah, so much to like here about Justin Jefferson. Overall number 18 last year. There's no way he's getting out of the first round this year in any of your fantasy drafts. He probably didn't last year. Justin Jefferson could go top three in fantasy drafts this year. I would say there's a percentage of fantasy drafts where Justin Jefferson is going to go in the top three. But he's wide receiver one off last year. Overall 18th best producer of fantasy points last year. And there's a lot to like there. If you want him, you better get him early. Devontae Adams was wide receiver two last year. Overall 19. Played every game, 235.5 points. So just a handful of points less than Justin Jefferson. Adams did more damage by scoring 14 touchdowns last year. How about this for the Raiders last year? They got 27 combined touchdowns from Adams via the air and Jacobs via the ground. I'm sorry, Jacobs had 12. So 26 touchdowns scored by the Raiders last year were scored either by Jacobs on the ground or Adams via the air. 100 catches, 1,516 yards for Devontae Adams. So the volume of catches was pretty significantly down, about 20% less than Justin Jefferson. But the touchdowns were nearly double what Jefferson did last year. Could that be different this year because Dalvin Cook is not in the backfield for the Vikings? I'm not saying Alexander Mattison is an inferior player, but you don't have anything to go on that on a game-to-game basis, the Vikings can turn to Alexander Mattison to get those goal line touches and get them in the end zone the way Dalvin Cook has done in recent years. So does that mean more red zone targets for Jefferson, even though there's a rookie receiver in Minnesota that is a factor as well? From Adam's standpoint, he goes from Carr as his quarterback to likely, right, until further notice, until there is an injury problem with Jimmy G. That's who Devontae Adams is working with this year. So there's some changes there. Josh McDaniels still calling the shots, still the head coach. Not a lot of high expectations on the Raiders this year. But hey, if they're playing from behind and you know Josh Jacobs not happy, not there, seems like Devontae Adams gets his will score for you in fantasy. I'd be optimistic on owning Devontae Adams this year. Overall number 20 last year and wide receiver 3 was Tyreek Hill, 228.2 points, stayed durable, played in every game, 7 touchdowns receiving. He did do a few things on the ground. Not anything Debo-like from, say, 2021, and that's dead because the acquisition of McCaffrey, by the way. I owned Hill in all my leagues last year. Learning from my mistakes of previous years where a marquee wide receiver changes teams via free agency or trade, and you think differently of them, you shouldn't. Right, Devontae Adams proved that last year. Tyreek Hill proved that. Previous years, DeAndre Hopkins proved that. If the Vikings don't pay Justin Jefferson, he'll probably prove it too. I know Vikings fans don't want to think about a world without Justin Jefferson, but here's a quick aside. If you are a Minnesota sports fan, you're used to being disappointed. So just be prepared that Justin Jefferson at some point may not be a Minnesota Viking. Not this year, but maybe down the road. Tyreek Hill, 119 catches, 1,720 yards. Tua was a very accurate quarterback. I know that's not his issue. His issue is staying healthy. Tua is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the National Football League the last couple years, especially with a clean pocket. Now you say, well, any quarterback would. No, no. I've looked at the numbers via Warren Sharp. Tua is one of the top few quarterbacks with a clean pocket, and overall his accuracy is very, very good. I kind of like the Dolphins this year. You know the buzz that the Jets are getting in that division because the Aaron Rodgers acquisition, or just because they're based in New York, even with the Jalen Ramsey injury on the defensive side of the ball, I believe in McDaniel. I have the same injury concerns you do as it relates to Tua, but I kind of like what the Dolphins are capable of. They were a playoff team last year. I think they're a playoff team this year, and I like Tyreek Hill. Overall 21 last year, and coming in as RB6 was Saquon Barkley. Played in all but one game last year. In my scoring settings, 227 total points, 10 rushing touchdowns, no receiving touchdowns. Had 338 yards receiving and no touchdowns. That tells me he's going to have some receiving touchdowns this year. That Daniel Jones was using Barkley as a receiver. He just didn't happen to have a receiving touchdown last year. Barkley got $900,000 more dollars, has gotten in camp, should be good to go. 1,312 in the rushing yards. I like him. I like Saquon Barkley as your RB1 with Brian Daboll. Even with, I guess, Daboll, at least we hear, you know, Kafka's going to call the plays this year. Daboll will still be very heavily involved with the play calling and the game planning. You've got some stability here. The Giants are coming off a playoff year. I think they're getting – their personnel is getting better. I think their talent is getting faster. Dable's there year 2 as a head coach. learn from whatever his mistakes were last year. Daniel Jones is back. Barkley is back. Barkley's playing for another contract. So, yeah. Is Saquon Barkley a first-round fantasy play? I'll say he'll go in some first rounds. You might be able to get him in the second round of some fantasy drafts. But I think overall he will put up RB1 numbers. Yeah. So RB6 last year, Saquon Barkley overall 21 in 2022. Number 22 from last year was Lamar Jackson. He missed five games, still put up 225.13 points. So he comes in at QB, let's see. Daniel Jones was QB8, Cousins was 9, Goff was 10, Herbert was 11. Yeah, so Lamar was basically a fringe QB1 last year because of the injuries and his production. He only threw for 2,242 yards across those 12 games. Let's see. As a comparison, now let's remember. Same passing yards as Justin Fields. Fields did that in 15 games. Lamar did it in 12. Fields threw 17 touchdowns in 15 games. Lamar threw 17 touchdowns in 12 games. The odd part the last couple years of Lamar's game is where have the rushing touchdowns gone? Is it just a case of where when the Ravens get close to the end zone, unlike the Eagles who have perfected a way to get Jalen Hurts in the end zone and simplify everything, the Ravens don't or can't do that with Lamar Jackson? Jackson, 3 rushing touchdowns last year. Didn't have a rushing touchdown after week 2 the previous year. Rushing yards are still nice, 764. But you expect more, right? Last 2 years, Lamar, 3 rushing touchdowns in 2022. No rushing touchdowns in 2021 after week 2. I think he has diminished fantasy value. I think he is a fringe QB1. If I did happen to own him, if he had a couple of big first weeks, I would sell high on him and then move on with some other quarterback who I felt better about for the bulk of the season rather than Lamar. Okay, so I'll give you a scenario here. And I know I'm playing against some of the people who listen to this podcast. So let's say one of my draft strategies is, I'll just talk about like something I did last year. I drafted Mahomes in the 3rd round. He was great. Got me all the way. Was that in the podcast league or was that? Yeah, no, that was in the foundation. I drafted Patrick Mahomes in the 3rd round. He got me to the championship game. And then it's my fault I lost the championship game because I overthought a couple of things transactions-wise and lost the championship game. It's on me. It's not on Mahomes. So I don't think, let's say I took Mahomes in the 3rd round this year. He may not be available as late as 3rd round, but let's just say I did. If Lamar Jackson was sitting there in round 6 or 7, do I take him? Or at that point, am I sacrificing value on somewhere else? Whereas, could I trade Lamar Jackson after week 1 or week 2 or week 3 and get something big in return after I've identified post-draft, hey, I may need something else at RB. I may need something else at wide receiver. Someone blew their quarterback draft and is willing to overpay to get Lamar Jackson from me, and I go forward with Mahomes the rest of the season. Don't know. Just laying a scenario out there for you. Jackson, I will not draft him as my QB1. I think the last couple years especially have showed that the numbers don't back up Jackson being a dual threat fantasy quarterback who's durable enough to give you what you need on a weekly basis for the whole season. Aaron Rodgers was a fantasy disaster last year. Warren Sharp breaks down a lot of negative numbers for Aaron Rodgers. I've been telling you ever since he won Super Bowl 55, he's a sub-500 quarterback in the playoffs. So much as I, earlier this podcast, I told Minnesota sports fans to prepare to be disappointed again at some point in Justin Jefferson's career. Jets fans, you're used to being disappointed. Aaron Rodgers will probably disappoint you in the end. He's a sub 500 quarterback in the playoffs since Super Bowl 45. Last year, 3,695 yards, 26 touchdowns. Very respectable numbers, fantasy wise overall. But it doesn't translate enough. You know, we're already down to what, QB 13 from last year, and Rodgers didn't miss a game. One rushing touchdown, by the way, that normally happens against the Bears. I don't know if the Jets play the Bears this year. I don't think they do. You know, the whole Rodgers, I own the Bears, I own Chicago. 94 yards rushing. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a QB 1 until further notice. Overall 23 last year, QB 13. Jamal Williams. All right, so Rodgers is the first one from last year to change teams. Brady is the first one to not be draftable because he retired. But no one until we got to Aaron Rodgers had changed teams. Then we get to Jamal Williams. See, this gets me also that people are so bullish on Detroit. And Jamal Williams, who had 17 rushing touchdowns for the Lions last year. 17. That's more than Josh Jacobs, more than Derrick Henry, more than Austin Eckler, more than Christian McCaffrey, more than Nick Chubb, more than Saquon Barkley. Jamal Williams and those 17 rushing touchdowns aren't in Detroit anymore. They're in New Orleans. 217.9 for Jamal Williams last year. 1,066 yards rushing. That's a real efficient number. You barely got 1,000 yards rushing, and you scored 17 touchdowns. His rushing yards were less than Jacobs, less than Henry, a little bit more than Eckler, less than McCaffrey, less than Chubb, less than Barkley. 17 rushing touchdowns. Eckler combined for 18 when you include his 5 receiving touchdowns. Kamara is going to miss the first 3 games due to suspension in New Orleans. I'm not going to go nuts here and take Jamal Williams in the first round. But I think there's some real RB value here with Williams in New Orleans. I wish I had owned him last year. I tried to get him. And there's one particular owner in the foundation who will not do trades with me because he listens to this podcast and he just kind of knows how I tick. That if I want to trade for a player, it tells him the player has more value than even he thinks the player has. So the trade doesn't usually happen. And finally, at number 25, A.J. Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles. Very durable. Again, a wide receiver who changed teams, and there was no dip in production. If anything, production went up in the Nick Sirianni offense with Jalen Hurts. And you know what? Even though Jalen Hurts only threw 22 touchdowns, half of them went to A.J. Brown. And Devontae Smith came on last year. He started getting touchdowns. Many times Devontae would get multiple touchdowns in a game. A.J. Brown still had 11 touchdowns last year, half of the touchdowns thrown by Jalen Hurts. Even though Jalen Hurts rushed for 13 touchdowns, you cannot complain about A.J. Brown's production and his durability. 88 catches, 1,496 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns for for an NFC champion team on offense. He's the clear number one receiver with a franchise quarterback. I know they lost their offensive coordinator to be head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I still think there's a lot of good things happening here for the Eagles, and A.J. Brown is a worthy wide receiver one for you. We'll stop there for today. We'll come back on Monday, and I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do Monday or next week in terms of player evaluation, based on some things, you know, we see as the week goes on. But we will have unique new episodes every weekday here in the month of August, and that is thanks to Hooters sponsoring this, so you can enjoy the podcast and my leagues absolutely free. Hooters is celebrating 40 years, and in honor of the anniversary on the 4th of every month, Hooters will be hosting throwback events, bringing the 80s back with 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, we will be drafting at Hooters this year. If you would like to be a part of a Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League and can be there in person with us, email me. Let me know of your interest in your fantasy football background at right.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Have a good weekend.